Very thankful this morning that Christ went to the cross, and He went to the cross because of His love for each and every one of us. The title of the message this morning is Because of the Resurrection. The resurrection is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. And because it is in the power of the resurrection that we find faith, and we find hope, and it's in the power of the resurrection that we find redemption this morning. So for the purpose of the message today, I know there are different kinds of messages, there's different kinds of deliveries. I would just invite you all, you're welcome to follow along in your Bibles, and normally I would encourage you to do so. But this morning, if you just want to sit back, and I'd encourage you to do some reflection. As I tell you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the story of Jesus Christ. It was not quite 2,000 years ago that Jesus left the beauty and the glory and the splendor of heaven. He left a place of peace. He left a place where He was venerated and honored as the Son of God. And He chose to come to a place where He was ridiculed, where He did not have a place to call home, where He suffered. He was born to a virgin, and He grew up to know and understand our humanity in the flesh. He equipped Himself through His divine understanding to enable Himself to intercede and mediate between us and God, because in the flesh He understood life. He understood what it meant to be tempted. He understood what it meant to cry. He understood grief. He understood what it meant to be rejected by friends and by family. And so He was equipped to stand between God and us, because He knew what it meant to walk as flesh. While on earth, Jesus performed miracles. He made the lame to walk. He gave sight to the blind. He brought healing to the brokenhearted. He gave deliverance to those that were bound by evil spirits, to those that were addicted to sin, addicted to the work of the flesh, and they could not break it. Jesus, while on earth, gave power to break addictions. Surely, He gave freedom to the captives. He brought comfort to those that were grieving. He wept with those that wept, but He was there to dry their tears, to give them hope. He gave power to the faint. This man, Jesus, the Son of God, commanded even the boisterous waves and the wind to cease. And though opposed and rejected of men, there was no force and there was no power that was able to stop or suppress the wonderful message of God's love to mankind. The religious leaders of His time tried to quell it. They tried to stop the message from spreading, but there was no force in hell or on earth that could stop the power of love that began to spread across the face of the earth. But most of all, it was the divine love of Jesus Christ for humanity that He forgave the unforgivable. He accepted those that had been rejected. He lifted up the fallen. He embraced the lonely. He touched the leper. Those that were unclean, we find Jesus reaching out, not being afraid to associate with those who had been ostracized from society. We find Jesus, the Son of God, coming and walking among men, to be a friend to sinners and show love to those that had been rejected and had no friends. He lifted up those that were fallen. And though we were unworthy, Sister Melissa, He forgave us of our transgression. To remember, Stephen, our sins no more. He put our sin far from Him, and He did not hold those before us and say, "You remember what you did." But our Savior came because He wanted to give for each and every one of us a place of forgiveness from the sin and the wrong and the pain and the hurt that we have even caused to one another and in our families. Jesus, the Son of God, came to forgive us of all our transgression. Jesus came and He taught and exemplified a life of holiness that ne'er a scholar or a theologian had ever done before and will never do in the future. Jesus taught as no man had ever taught. He spake as one with authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees had done, not as the religious leaders of our time who are exalting themselves, but Jesus came and He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And He came to minister to our needs, not to gain reputation, but to lift up fallen man and to glorify the name of God the Father. His words brought life to those who received it. He brought hope to the hopeless. Truly, He was the light in the darkness. Every man, woman, and child that ever has believed with their whole heart in the name of Jesus Christ has found transformation. He enabled us to rise above ourselves. He enabled us to do what we could not do. He enabled us in Jesus Christ to walk in newness of life. He settled not for the mandates of the Mosaic Law. And although the Mosaic Law had been given by God, Jesus came to elevate and rise us above a religion of thou shalt and thou shalt not. Jesus brought and introduced to us a new covenant, whereas we could be reconciled to God because of the forgiveness of sin, that now that we also could be reconciled to God through a life of holiness and through a life of purity, that we are no longer observing just an outward observance. We're no longer following men's ritual. We're no longer following a creed of man. But He introduced to us a spiritual covenant that when we enter into it, it actually did something down in the heart. It brought love, and it brought peace, and it brought unity and oneness. Some people that just moved in or they bought the house next to ours, we went to visit them yesterday for just a few minutes. And they were quick to tell us that they were Ukrainian, not Russian. They worshiped in a Russian church in Portland, Oregon. They told something that was very sad to me. They said they worship Russians and Ukrainians, but in many of the Portland churches in Portland, Oregon, they have stopped having services together because of the strife between them. Do you know this morning that Jesus came to break down the barriers of race and color? He came to break down the barrier of language, that we could all be one because we have all been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That no more should we be divided by men's creeds in that church, in this church, in that way. But He came to call us into oneness and unity in one way of holiness and righteousness as we follow God. He came that we could live in a place of peace. Jesus came that we could have rest to our soul this morning. And while the world offers its wisdom, while the religious world offers a code of conduct and fellowship in the flesh, There is salvation in no other than in Jesus Christ this morning. In the book of Acts, in the fourth chapter, the scripture says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." Our salvation this morning is not because we have come to church. Our salvation is not because we've joined a religion. Our religion is not because we have followed a certain pastor or ministry. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ this morning. And He came to deliver us. He came to save us from our sin. He did not come to save us in our sin. Many churches today are teaching and promoting the idea that Jesus forgives us in our sin, and we continue the same way, and there's just a grace that forgives us as we continue our sin. But I am thankful this morning that through the power of Jesus Christ, He did exactly what the Bible said He did. He came to set His people free from their sin. That we could go and walk in newness of life. We don't have to go back to the pig pit of sin. We don't have to go back to the things that once held us in bondage. But there is a place and a plan that Jesus introduced to us that is still applicable today, 2,000 years later, that we can be delivered from the very power of sin. I used to be a liar. I used to be a drunkard. I used to be a fornicator. I used to be an adulterer. I used to be covetous. But now through the power of Jesus Christ, we've been set free from the works of the flesh and can follow His pattern of holiness and righteousness. This is the Jesus. This is what the Son of God came to do for us. And so we celebrate this morning. Renee wrote, because of the resurrection. We celebrate this morning not the Easter Bunny, not the goddess of fertility, Easter. We don't worship the spring equinox. It's not why I'm here this morning. But we're here to remember Jesus, to remember His resurrection. I'm not here to seek after colored eggs, not here to seek after chocolate bunnies, but I'm here to seek after glorifying God and to worship Him and to exalt His name and to remember the price that He paid for my redemption. And to remember that the Son of God who lay in the grave is no longer in the grave, but He rose again from the dead. Thank God for the resurrection. Because it is only in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we today have hope of a brighter tomorrow. It is because of the resurrection that we have hope of a brighter day and have hope of eternal life. So after ministering for a mere 3.5 years, Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was rejected by those who should have stood by Him. He was betrayed by one of His own. Right after He'd been in the garden praying, "Father, not my will, but Thy will be done." And it was because Christ knew the suffering that was ahead of Him. If you would take a journey with me, if you can just listen, if you want, take a journey with me through a few scriptures. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, it said, "Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and He said, 'Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and to the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and they will deliver Him to the Gentiles.'" For what purpose? "To mock, to scourge, and to crucify Him. But the third day He shall rise again." Christ prophesied of the resurrection. But do you know that before the resurrection, there was rejection, there was suffering, and there was death. Christ knew that death was ahead of him, and that is the reason why he was in agony in the garden praying, "Father, not my will, not my will, but thy will be done." Well, Jesus was taken and he was stripped of his garments and he was beaten. The blood flowed down his body. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was made fun of. Oh, the King of the Jews. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. And he was nailed to a cross. And he was raised in humiliation between two murderous thieves. Why did he do that? He was willing to drink that bitter cup because he loved you. Brother Max, you were one of the reasons. I was one of the reasons that he looked on us in our unworthiness and in our sin, and he had a desire to make an avenue that we could be at peace in our hearts. So why did he go to the cross? Hebrews chapter 10, verse beginning with verse 4, it said, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," Jesus said, "sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." In other words, the time of the offering of blood and of the blood of bulls and of goats, it was over. Because the blood of bulls and of goats only brought forgiveness for past sins committed. There was no power to enable mankind to go keep living without sin. So I will say to all those that preach and promote a doctrine that you can be saved and keep living in sin, there was no purpose for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Because people lived in their sin under the old offerings of blood, the blood of bulls and of goats. But Jesus came to introduce something more. And this is what he said. "Then said I," when I recognized, when we realized the blood of bulls and of goats was no longer acceptable to God, this is what Jesus said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." So he came to this earth, and he said above when he said, "Sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure in them which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first and to establish the second. We are no longer under the old covenant this morning. Jesus Christ came and introduced a new covenant that we could be reconciled to God to live in true peace. No longer do I have to keep the Sabbath day, that I abstain from work on one day out of the week, but it was a type and a shadow of something that was fulfilled in the new covenant dispensation that now today, every day, is holy to the Lord. Every day we are to walk and lift up the Lord in worship and honor by the conduct of our life. And so he came to be a sacrifice. And as he was nailed on that cross, the account in Luke chapter 23, verse 44 said, it was about the sixth hour. It was at noon. And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That was until 3 o'clock. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Amen. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." At noon, from noon till 3 o'clock, the earth was in darkness. At 3 o'clock was the last time that animal sacrifice could be slain to have to eat at the Passover feast that night. And it was at 3 o'clock that the lamb that was without blemish offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for us. And he said, "It is finished." And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Praise God. That veil, it wasn't just a little curtain. It was a thick veil. It ripped and was torn. And it was that that separated the holy place from the most holy place. It was only the high priest that could go into that most holy place. There at the Ark of the Covenant, at the mercy seat, where the very presence of God was. There was only one man, one time a year, that could go into that place. But because Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain for us, went to the cross, when He died, that veil was split in two to give us access to the very presence of God. And it allowed the Holy Spirit just to go out, to come in and fill everybody that would open up their heart to our Heavenly Father. Oh, this morning, do you know this is why we celebrate the resurrection? This is why, because now all of us have access to the presence of God. We don't have to go through a man. You don't have to go get your name on a church book. But there is a place of redemption and salvation that I can come to Jesus Christ. I can come to the Father by way of Christ. And I can find forgiveness of sin, that I can go and have peace in my heart. And I can lay down at night, and I can know that if I died that night, that I would be ready to meet God, not because of my righteousness, but because the blood of Jesus has been applied. So was it over? Jesus said, "It is finished." The plan was complete. The sacrifice was finished. The Lamb of God was slain. His blood has been shed. But where there had been hope for just a little while, it seemed there is once more darkness, because Jesus is dead. He's gone. Those that had embraced His theology, those that had embraced Him as the Son of God, when He died on the cross, their understanding was also darkened, and they felt like it was over. It seemed like redemption had lost its power. It seemed like their hope for deliverance was gone. And by all purposes, it seemed that one more time that death had gained the upper hand. But then Sunday morning came. Friday was over. Saturday was past and gone. And Sunday morning came. And those women that went there to the sepulcher to go grieve said, entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. I'm reading from Mark 16. Clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." And those next three words resonate 2,000 years later. "He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where the Lord lay. But go your way and tell His disciples and Peter," the one that had failed me, "go be sure to let him know that He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see Him as He said unto you." Oh, my heart says glory, glory, glory that He's risen this morning. Jesus is not in the grave where it seemed like hope was lost. Because of the resurrection, hope was restored. Because of the resurrection, His blood has efficacy this morning. There is power in the blood of Jesus, because the one that shed His blood did not stay dead like the bulls and the goats. But the Lamb of God that was slain as an atonement for us, He rose from the dead and He conquered death. He conquered sin and hope was restored. And that redemption is there for each and every one of us this morning. Death gave way to victory. You know, history was changed that morning. And it's because of that, Brother Justin, that we have been changed. Because Jesus rose from the dead. It was because of the resurrection. He's alive. Because of the resurrection, the curse that was placed upon mankind in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, there was a curse of physical death that was placed upon them, and there was a curse of spiritual death. But because of the resurrection, the curse of death was broken. We are new creatures. As we are buried with Him in baptism, as He rose from the dead, so we can raise from our sin and walk in the newness of life. Thank the Lord. We this morning can know the power of His resurrection. It's more than a story. We can experience that resurrection in our life because of His resurrection. We can have power over sin this morning. We can have power over ourself. We can have power over the world, and we can have power over Satan. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death because of the resurrection this morning. We don't have to fear death. Because of the resurrection, we can come and pray and know that He's listening because He's not dead. Jesus Christ is alive at the right hand of God. And when we pray to Him, whether we're on our knees or standing, lifting up holy hands, as the Scripture says, when we pray, Jesus is listening because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection. It is because of the resurrection this morning that I have hope for my unsaved loved ones. It is because there is a living Lord that I know there is a plan of salvation and there is a living God. And it gives me hope when I pray for those that have walked away from God because Jesus is alive and He's going to reach out and talk to them and minister to them and show them the way back by way of the cross that they also might have a resurrection. We have hope of transformation. When you look at your loved ones and think they're too far gone in sin, there is hope of transformation because of the resurrection. And no matter this morning how bleak life looks, no matter how heavy the tears flow, it is because of the resurrection that there is a place of comfort and there is a place of strength and there is a place of renewal. And I don't know how I can sit down this morning without remembering what my niece tells me I could probably preach every Sunday. And I think I could. But you remember two of the disciples when Jesus was dead. Remember where they headed? The road to Emmaus. They left Jerusalem. Their hopes were shattered. And they don't know exactly where Emmaus was. And I think too often people lose their hope and they're just going down a road. Lost hope. Life isn't even worth living anymore. Because of sin, because of heartache, because of pain. And yet it was on that road that Jesus appeared to them and He began to commune with them. And as Jesus prayed, break bread and prayed, it said their eyes were opened. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us? That indeed was the Christ. Because of the resurrection, those men, they turned around. And they didn't go down the same old road, but they turned around and they headed back to Jerusalem. They headed back where the other disciples were. They headed back where there were those that they had a wonderful message to tell because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and it is because of the resurrection. It is because he lives this morning that I can face tomorrow. Would you sing with me? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.